Hello, welcome to Mikey Pod episode 248 for January 9th, 2016. Today's guest is Jason Oliver, and I'm your host, Michael Herron. I'm a composer, pianist, electronic musician, storyteller, and vegan activist based in New York City. Starting this month, I am going to be narrowing the focus of my guests and having conversations with creators and artists who create work around activism. I've been doing this podcast for like the 12 years, over 12 years. And is it 12 years or 11 years? I think 12 years. I always forget these things. And it's been like a pretty artists and creators and activists who interest me. I'm narrowing the focus a little bit. And yeah, so we have a great guest to start that out today. Jason Oliver is a singer, songwriter, and activist in the Bay Area in California. And he just released an album. We'll be talking about that in a minute. But if you would like to know more about me, stop by my website at michaelherron.com. Hit me up on social media everywhere as at Michael Herron and leave a voicemail at 347-460-1753 or email mikeypod@gmail.com. So this podcast is a day late. I apologize. And I just wrote a blog post about this. All weekend, I was protesting at Madison Square Garden with a bunch of activists, bull riding. There was a whole bull riding thing happening in the city. And New York City, it was a lot. It was, you know, like, and I always want to preface this stuff with like, it was a lot and nowhere near how horrific it was for the animals who were being exploited at this thing. But, you know, like, this is a particularly rough crowd to go protest because they're bullies. Like, the whole thing they do is bully animals. And so they're going to bully protesters too. I mean, we were all like, there were a lot of protesters. I would say there were around 50 at each protest, and there were three of them, one for each day that this performance was going on, or whatever you want to call it. So there was a lot of like kind of bullshit stuff, you know, the typical people eating tasty animals, I love meat. And then there would always be someone saying USA as if we were an anti-USA thing. People saying we love Trump. People flipping us off, people spitting, you know, like, it's fucked up. But it's fucked up people. Like, I shouldn't categorize like that. It's people whose lifestyle is much different than mine, and they're, you know. So the last day, a bunch of us went out to document the bulls being loaded onto the trucks, and it was an extremely cold weekend, like single digit over the weekend, and we're not sure if the bulls stayed in the trucks overnight. These trucks are just like metal. You've seen them, I'm sure, these metal trucks. Like you see livestock being moved in with holes, like ventilation holes, but it was like single digits and there was literally frost on the trucks. And this is what they were being transported in or maybe staying in overnight. So the last day, a bunch of us were out trying to take pictures and video. And granted, some of the activists were pretty heated too. But there came a point, like 34th Street, right by Madison Square Garden, was blocked off. And these dudes, we were in the way. And they were trying to get this big truck out. All of a sudden, this dude on a horse with a lasso starts ramming his horse, like charging us with a horse on 34th Street. Police there, P.S., not doing anything. And I'm trying, the horse charging thing happened a couple of times. And the second time it happened, I was trying to get out of the way. Some random guy grabbed me, picked me up, and threw me on the ground. And this happened on the street in New York City. And the cops didn't do anything. And we had footage of this happening. I talked to two different cops who were very, like, uninterested, and the first one just said, oh, that's not assault, you're not injured, and the second one didn't really say it wasn't assault. Anyway, I wound up not trying to press charges or anything like that. So that's what happened. And yesterday, like, I tend to kind of roll my eyes at myself and others when I talk about self-care for activists, or when I hear other people saying it, but I think it's a real thing. And yesterday was a day I didn't realize how bad I felt, sort of emotionally. And in this world of like, whoa, this is it. Like, being vegan and speaking out for animals is already a thing where it's like living in a freaky world, because you're trying to tell people how horrible it is, and they get mad at you for trying to speak up for animals, and they act like you're an idiot or overly sensitive. And like all of the people, like I have lots of vegan friends now, but especially before, you know, when like all the people I know, like there's nobody that I know who can say, oh, I had no idea what was happening to animals. Like they know. And for whatever reason, they don't care enough to stop participating in it. And I'm getting more, less and less likely to be apologetic about being direct and honest about this stuff. So yeah, it takes a toll, I guess. And of course, not as big a toll as what happens to the animals I'm trying to speak up for. But being at this rodeo thing was a lot. It's like, I hate to use the word fishbowl. Hello. But you know, like it's right there, right? Like you're standing there asking people to please stop harming animals, and they're making fun of you, ignoring you, rolling their eyes, acting like you're an idiot, telling you to get a job, which where does that come from to begin with? So yesterday was a day of, this is a long way of saying, like, I'm sorry the podcast wasn't up yesterday, but I'm not, because I realized today, like, oh, I was trying to get back to normal for a day. And I did, and I feel better. And I'm going to keep on doing my thing. So that's that. Let me know what you think of this idea of a focus, a tighter focus on the podcast of activist artists, not necessarily all vegans. It'll probably have that slant just because that's the world I'm in. But if anyone who's listening has an interest in being on the podcast, or there's an activist artist or activist creator, it could be like a YouTube creator, it could be someone who started a baking business, or, you know, any type of thing that where they connected their advocacy with something else they're passionate about, I would love to talk to them, because I think it's a really cool topic, and I think it's a really exciting way that we're able to get our activist messages out. So that said, someone who is doing just that is Jason Oliver. I mentioned already, he's a singer-songwriter based in the Bay Area. He has a brand new album out, and it's Protest Songs Volume 1. Boom. And this first song is called Rescue You.
Smileys, living on the sanctuary, safe, happy, and free. That's what she deserves. What she deserves. Shut it down. We will shut it down and rescue them all. We'll rescue them all like we rescued Mehua, and we rescued Charlotte, and we rescued Oliver, and we rescued Ava, and we rescued Sophie, and we rescued Lero, and we rescued Madison, and we rescued Annie, and we rescued Sarah, and we rescued Eddie. We'll rescue them all, we'll rescue them all.
Was Rescue You from Jason Oliver, and Jason Oliver is joining me right now. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Yay, I'm super excited to be able to talk to you. And this collection of songs just came out, what, last week, I think? Is that right?
Yeah, December 23rd.
So, yeah, let's talk about it. The song Rescue You that we just heard. Can you give me a little background about it?
Yeah, so that song, I have participated in Open Rescue, and you know that song is about a number of open rescues. The first being was Ella, which is a Costco investigation, which we did in 2016 in the fall, and we investigated a cage-free egg facility that was also organic, and we just found horrific conditions. We found chickens cannibalizing each other, and we rescued a chicken there named Ella. And so I just wanted to, tell her story. And then also I participated in a rescue, a pig rescue at this facility in California, which we actually found a deadly strep. I think it's bacteria, a MRSA it's called. We found MRSA on the farm, and that's a really deadly. And, we rescued Miley, and another pig as well. And so let's see, we talked about Ella, Miley, Lily, and then there's kind of a shout out to some of the other investigations that we've done as well. Of course, I couldn't name all the animals that we all the animals that we rescued. That would make the song half an hour or something. But I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to all the animals and tell their stories a little bit.
Which came first, your music or your activism, or did they sort of come together?
I think as far as the animal rights songs, they really came together, because I think especially the open rescue activism, I actually hadn't really hung out with animals. I had been vegan for a number of years, but I hadn't visited farm sanctuaries until I moved to California, actually, until my partner and I, we moved to the Bay Area and started getting involved with Direct Action Everywhere in the fall of 2014. And they do sanctuary work days like every month, pretty much. And so we got a chance to meet, chickens and cows and pigs. And it really created a personal connection for me that I didn't really have before then. It's more just kind of abstract, talking about animals and relating them to, of course, cats and dogs, which I grew up with, but just having that personal connection, being able to develop that, going to farm sanctuaries, I think is really powerful. And you're in a farm sanctuary, right? And
live at one, but I did a lot of work at one and then various ones as I was traveling. So yeah, I had a similar experience where I was vegan, and I was like, yeah, I just want to, be cool to animals. Then I started hanging out at sanctuaries, and it really, it deepened my commitment. to like what I was doing, because I met these animals that were rescued from humans. Like, it's pretty amazing. And then I haven't done open rescue, but I've like done, you know, slaughterhouse vigils and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which like takes it even deeper, right? Where you're like looking at the ones that don't make it, or then there are some that do that get taken out.
Yeah, that's those actions are so intense. You know, so it's really heartbreaking to see people just treating them like, you know, commodities, just, you know, taking them to these places, these, you know, torture chambers, and, you know, taking their lives like that. It's awful. But I find music's very healing, you know.
Yeah, it's healing. And I wonder how doing open rescue especially, or I guess the sanctuary stuff too, like how, I mean, it's sort of obvious, I guess, but I'm curious how it affected your music. You know, like, I know you're now writing about your experiences, but did it change how you approach just being a musician?
I think so. I think it just really had a powerful effect, because I had never seen any of these cage-free facilities, I guess, until Direct Action Everywhere is open rescue of cage-free egg farm. I think that was released in 2015, and that was of Whole Foods cage-free facility. And I assumed that these facilities were better, you know, that the animals were being treated better. And, you know, there was less cruelty. And then just seeing the facility, it was pretty horrific, just seeing how much, cause there's on these free range facilities, there's much higher rates of cannibalism. Because the birds are able, they don't have these cages to keep them from attacking each other. And so they're just crammed together, and they go insane, and then they attack each other. I guess just being there, just that visceral experience was really, it was almost like a consciousness shifting event when I remember going into one of these facilities. We actually just had a slaughterhouse rescue. It wasn't actually during the day, but it was on December 29th. And yeah, I think just anytime, you know, being in these facilities, it's just really, I think, creates a much more visceral connection to what's happened. And I honestly did feel pretty depressed, and I feel like it was pretty traumatizing. And so I think the music, sometimes beautiful music comes from a very sad place, I guess. I think it did have an impact. And I'm glad that I was able to make the songs, but at the same time, it is really, you know, it's just like a therapeutic process for me, I guess.
Do you find that it's therapeutic for other people? You know, like, just with the type of thing I do, I've like have had activists tell me, like, even though I was surprised that that activists felt empowered by the fact that I was telling my story. Like, are you getting that too with your music?
Yeah, especially at the December 29th slaughterhouse rescue, we were only able to take one chicken out, and I didn't personally go in, but I had been in when we did the action in October this year, where we went and did civil disobedience and took out, I think, five animals, actually. And at this one, it was, a lot of people were crying, you know, it was sad to just see the animals in cages, and, you know, animals that were so weak they couldn't even stand. And so a lot of folks said that, you know, coming out of the slaughterhouse, being able to sing some songs or listen to some songs, you know, about animal rights was very helpful and therapeutic. Without practices to help rejuvenate, you know, and revitalize our consciousness, it can be very draining and to do these actions.
It's just so sad, like, what's happening to animals, like, on such a huge scale. And
yeah.
And again, I haven't been on an open rescue yet.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I do a lot of, like, Caporo stuff here in New York, where there's, like, thousands, tens of thousands of chickens being slaughtered on the street. Wow. And it's that thing where you're just like, I mean, I'm trying to sort of connect that to what it's like, or what it must be like to leave an open rescue and leave all those other animals behind.
Yeah,
because you can't help all of them.
Yeah, I've heard some folks say that it's even, in those situations, it's even more intense just witnessing the animals being killed versus just you know, being even like going on an open rescue, you know, we're not seeing animals being killed. We're seeing animals in confinement, which is awful. But going to like a Caporos protests, I've heard some folks say that that's just been really traumatizing, seeing the animals just being killed and thrown. They're just thrown in the garbage bags, right?
Yeah, I mean, they do the garbage bag thing sort of like secretly.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not that secret. Like, it's pretty obvious. But it's not. I could get started. It's not. I mean, it should be obvious to all of the people in the community. But I think they just sort of pretend that they don't see, because the chickens are supposed to go to charity, et cetera, yeah, et cetera. But I mean, they're obvious, like so obviously not. But, you know, that's what their community tells them. And I think that's kind of that belief helps them sort of just continue to do the ritual.
Yeah. But
yeah, it sucks. I love it. It sucks. Just for the sake of people who are listening, I just dawned on me, some people may not know exactly what open rescue is. Can you tell us?
Sure. Yeah. Open rescue is a tactic that was first undertaken in Australia, actually. I believe Patty Mark was one of the first activists to do an open rescue. And what it entails is going on to a farm and documenting conditions and then looking for animals that are in need of veterinary care and taking them out of those farms and taking them to a vet. And the legal justification is this idea that, like, say if a dog is trapped in a car on a hot day, that it's okay to break that car, the window in the car, and then take the dog out, because there's a legal necessity defense that the dog needs like veterinary care. They need help, you know? And so we believe that we have that same defense going into this farm. I mean, we know we're going to find cruelty on these facilities because there's maybe like what 1% or 2% of farms that aren't factory farms in the United States. So there are going to be sick and injured animals on pretty much any farm that you go to visit. And so when we go there and we document the conditions, you know, generally we'll take an animal out. And we believe in showing our faces, because we believe we're doing the right thing, you know, like, we're breaking an unjust law. Just because we're breaking the law doesn't mean that we're not doing the right thing. You know, these animals need help. And if it was if they were dogs and cats, nobody would be upset with us at all. They would be upset with the farms. You know, they would think this is atrocious, this is horrific. So that's basically the philosophy and practice and theory behind it, I guess.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and it makes the conversation really shift. Like, was it, you probably know the details about this better than I do. There was an open rescue, I think, in San Francisco where a cop actually paid the slaughterhouse for a chicken that you guys wanted to rescue. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. That was in Oakland at this slaughterhouse that we went to on December 29th. We had gone there previously in October for this weekend of activism called Convergence. And we went there, and Priya, who's a activist with Direct Action Everywhere, she had a baby quail in her hands, and she said she's not gonna give the quail back to the owners, because the quail is going to die. The quail needs veterinary care, and she's not going to stop. And the cops were threatening to arrest her, and they said she can't, you know, you can't move. And then she said, well, then, you know, you're going to have to arrest me. And then one of the cops said, all right, well, how about if I just, you know, if I just pay for the quail, how much is the quail? And then he asked the slaughterhouse a manager, I believe, and the manager said, you know, the quail, like $3, you know. And she had found the quail in a garbage can, you know. If you look at the live stream from that action, they were throwing live animals into garbage cans. there were some live animals that were in the garbage can. And so, you know, they were just going to be thrown in the trash anyway. So, but yeah, it was amazing that the cop decided to pay, you know, for the animal. That was pretty amazing. I mean, because the cop's not vegan, but he can just see, you know, this isn't right, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, that I think that's the interesting thing that happens with this conversation, where the cops are like, oh my God, I'm actually preventing, like, if I enforce a law, I'll be preventing this quail from getting help.
Yeah.
It's it puts the cops in a really interesting position that I think is super exciting, you know, like, because that's the conversation we need to start having. Like, why are we protecting the people that are causing this harm?
Yeah.
And not the people that are trying to help. I love it. I just, yeah.
I just felt really inspired just to see that happen. You know, I felt like that there was a shift, you know, in his consciousness where he, you know, decided to take action because he didn't think it was okay for, you know, the animals to be treated this way, you know, so.
Yeah. It's so funny. When I was planning to talk to you, I was like, oh, we'll talk about music, blah, blah, blah. And now we're like, boom, like deep in the like activist stuff. Which, like, it's super important, but it's funny that I don't know why I thought we wouldn't be talking about activism. I mean, I wanted to talk about activism and music, but I mean, this is the important thing. Back to your music, though.
Yeah.
Have you been able to use your music, like, in disruptions or anything like that? Are you?
Yeah, we use one of the holiday songs. Actually, we use the Oh Animals song as well in a holiday disruption at this large supermarket in Berkeley called Berkeley Bowl. And we had this peace sign and we sang a few different holiday songs and protest songs. And we just did a big demo and, you know, we all had signs saying peace, you know, and we wanted to hopefully inspire customers to really, you know, decide to make a compassionate decision, you know, during the holidays, because so many animals get slaughtered and eaten, you know, during Christmas and you know, Thanksgiving and so forth. I think Christmas, I mean, I'm not sure what the number is, but tens of millions of chickens are eaten. And of course, you know, Thanksgiving, it's turkeys. And so, yeah, it was very powerful too, because so many people were singing. We had rehearsed the lyrics. Oh, and people had the lyrics behind the signs. And so, this song was based off of Jingle Bells. So instead of Jingle Bells, it was animals, you know. And then this other one, Oh Animals, Oh Animals, is actually based off of like the Hanukkah melody, which is like, Oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. So,
I didn't even catch it.
Yeah, I had this idea of rewriting Christmas songs and, you know, Hanukkah and just holiday songs in general, and rewriting the lyrics to be, you know, animal rights songs, because many of the songs in Christmas, they're talking about, you know, reindeer being used. And so John Sackers actually rewrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to be Rudolph the Rescued Reindeer. And so we sang that one as well. And I know in Jingle Bells, you know, it's talking about reindeers pulling a sleigh and so forth. And so I think it's a powerful way to inject a counter narrative about, you know, the animals' perspective. So,
yeah, I love it. I teach kids music, or like preschool music classes.
Oh, awesome.
And like, there's so many times that I'll start singing a kid's song and be like, oh shit, this one has animal exploitation in it. Like, there are so many songs that just, so I always find a way to like either just not sing the song anymore, or like sort of like shift things around a little bit. So
yeah,
it's nice to be able to do that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So where can people find your album?
Right now I just have it released on Bandcamp. And you know, maybe if there's enough demand, I've actually been looking into maybe doing a bulk order on some CDs. I guess just most of my friends don't buy CDs anymore. So
yeah,
you know, it's funny just living in the digital age now where we can just download everything. So,
yeah.
I mean, folks can go there, you know, listen to it. You know, if they like it, they can help support me. Cause I'm actually right now working on a second album of animal rights songs. that are hopefully going to be released in the next couple months here. And I'm hoping there's this big conference coming up in May called the Animal Liberation Conference, which is jointly organized with the SAVE movement, Direct Action Everywhere, members of Anonymous for the Voiceless. And so we're going to just have a bunch of, you know, activism going on. And I'd like to see just, you know, a huge group of people just singing, you know, animal rights songs, and just see how many people we can get, you know, to do like a mass singing demo. Cause I think it's a very powerful way of reaching people.
Yeah, for sure. We just did a thing in New York, and I think it's a song that you guys have probably already done. It was my first time to do like a musical disruption like this. And we did it in Bryant Park at this big like winter festival. It was really interesting to see, cause people stopped and like listened. So we were doing this disruption with this, Liberation is the song that we did. Yes. I forgot.
Yeah, by Ernesto.
Yeah. It's a great song. And it was really interesting to watch people stop and really listen. Like normally at a disruption, when it's just speak outs, people, like, you can see them actively ignoring us. You know what I mean? Or like getting angry. But like when it's music, it's a little like, hey, we're just singing a song. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's totally different vibe, and I loved it. I'm going to make a point of being out there in May. I haven't like figured out where I'm staying or anything else, but I'll be seeing you at that. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's awesome, Michael. Yeah. I'm sure the houses will be fighting for you to stay with them.
Oh, I love it. Oh my God. We should wrap this up, but tell me, so we know where to find the album, and everyone who's listening, I'll put links to all of this stuff at MikeyPod.com. So if you're listening on the train or in your car or something, don't worry. You can just go there. Where can we find you on social media?
Social media, right now I'm on Facebook, Jason Oliver. I just created a page actually. So Facebook, Jason Oliver, you know, if you want, or you can, you know, friend me on Facebook too. It's like, I have a public profile.
Perfect.
Right now, yeah, that's pretty much it. I guess I'm on Instagram, Jason Vegan on Instagram. And yeah, that's it. That's it for the moment. But yeah, maybe I'll put out a website when I have more, I guess, another album out there or something.
Cool. Well, yeah, Bandcamp and like social media, like so many things. I have a website, but
yeah,
like,
yours is beautiful.
I'm often like, oh yeah, I forgot to post something on my website because I like, I'm so focused on social media. So, I mean, I feel like a website is kind of secondary. I mean, it's great, but like I don't think people really go to my website. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's like a whole side conversation. Thanks so much for joining me and taking the time to be on the podcast. Good luck with your music. And people who are listening, please support Jason's music. And I think that's it. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. Yeah. Appreciate it. Hope to see you soon.
Oh, animals, oh, animals, we will liberate you. Fight for your freedom, we won't hesitate to speak up for your rights every day, every night. We will not give up, cause we know we are right. So join us in creating beloved communities with compassion and kindness, respect and nonviolence will end animal cruelty. You'll soon have your freedom when more of us vegans speak up and take action. Practicing the law, 3.5% will rescue animals from places of violence. So join us in fighting for a world where we all are free. Free from injustice, hatred, and greed, we will end animal cruelty.
That was Jason Oliver with Animals, Oh Animals. And that concludes our show. Thanks, Jason, for being on the show today. If you like this podcast or the other free content I produce, Feel free to stop over to patreon.com/Michael Herron, and you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month for extra bonus content. I'm about to start, well, I have started working on a book and an album based on my solo multimedia show, The Animal Show. You'll get the first glimpse at all of that and bonus content and all kinds of crazy stuff for as little as $1 a month. So go to patreon.com/Michael Herron. And I think that's it. Yeah, see you next week.